Lady DJ. Stay tuned for all the hits right after this news break on VOA 1.
I'm Joe Palca reporting. Secretary of State John Kerry calls for war crimes probe into Russian activity in Syria.
These are acts that beg for an appropriate investigation of war crimes.
Secretary of State John Kerry, as he described the acts that have compelled him to call for an investigation into Russia's actions in Syria.
Last night, the regime attacked yet another hospital, and 20 people were killed and 100 people were wounded. And Russia and the regime owe the world more than an explanation about why they keep hitting hospitals and medical facilities and children and women. These are acts that beg for an appropriate investigation of war crimes.
Mr. Kerry said this is a targeted strategy to terrorize civilians and to kill anybody and everybody who's in the way of their military objectives.
And those who commit these would and should be held accountable for these actions. They're beyond the accidental now, way beyond. Years beyond the accidental.
An agreement between Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov last month would have created a new counterterrorism alliance in Syria had fighting stopped for a week, long enough for humanitarian aid to reach affected areas. Neither condition was met, and those airstrikes have continued. For more on this story, visit our website at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Diplomatic efforts between Ankara and Moscow are predicted to get a boost when President Vladimir Putin visits Turkey on Monday, but differences between Ankara and Moscow over the war in Syria, as well as Turkey's moves to align itself closer to Saudi Arabia, threaten to overshadow Putin's visit. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Vladimir Putin's decision to attend the World Energy Congress in Istanbul is the latest effort to repair relations after Turkish jets shot down a Russian bomber operating from a Syrian airbase in November. Murat Bilhan, deputy chair of the Ankara-based Turkish Asian Center for Strategic Studies, says Putin's visit is an important step in improving ties.
It's a follow-up visit of the Erdogan visit to St. Petersburg. While certain normalization has taken place already to get the relations back on track again.
Those positive developments are predicted to be around energy cooperation. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
Observers point out that Erdogan's decision to ease Turkey's demand for the immediate removal of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad was a key gesture toward Putin. Also reports that Turkey is considering reducing support for the Syrian rebels. Hurricane Matthew continues to unleash powerful winds and heavy rains on the southeastern state of Florida, while the death toll continues to mount in storm-ravaged Haiti. The National Weather Service said Matthew, which has weakened to a Category 3 storm, is hugging the coast of central Florida as it moves north-northwest, packing maximum sustained winds of 195 kilometers per hour. President Barack Obama.
Our thoughts and prayers are with folks who have been affected. It's even if the damage in South Florida wasn't as bad as it could be, there are people who've been affected, and for them, they're going to need help.
One of the areas bearing the brunt of the storm is Brevard County, Florida, where NASA's Cape Canaveral is located.
The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided to award the Nobel Peace Prize for 2016 to Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos.
That is the chairwoman of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, Kasi Kullmann-Feiva, announcing the awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize to the President of Colombia, Juan Manuel Santos.
La recibo no a nombre mío.
He says, I don't receive this in my name, but in the name of all Colombians, especially the millions of victims from this conflict we have been suffering for more than 50 years. Colombians, he says, this is for you.
Colombianos, este premio es de ustedes.
Even though the peace accord with the FARC rebels was rejected in a recent referendum, he's promised to revive the process.
That's the latest world news from VOA. great news. It's VOA. With all the latest hits right here on VOA 1.
Let It Go on VOA 1 Hits. Welcome to another hour. My name is the Lady DJ, the new one from Tuvlo on the way. Marky Basie, G-Eazy checking in along with Aloe Black. Oh, wow. Looks like I've got some Mariah Carey, too. Oh, yeah, we're going to have some fun, so let's do this. Charlie Puth, Selena Gomez next.
We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore like we used to do. We don't love anymore. What was all of it for? Ooh, we don't talk anymore like we used to do.
I just heard you found the one you've been looking for. so easily. Don't wanna know what kind of dress you're wearing tonight. If he's holding on to you so tight, the way I did before. I overdosed, should've known your love was a game. Now I can't get you out of my brain. Oh, it's such a shame. But we don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore.
Conversation, we were always so damn insecure. So how could we ever know for sure? And disregard the way I know we feel. That would make the city way too real. If we bump into each other on a crowded street, it's not us no more. Just you and me, we're just strangers in passing, casually. It's not us no more, it's just you and me. Oh yeah. Necklace, you didn't give me none of this, no. There's nothing for me to miss. We were too young on the day we met. How could we say we would not forget? And in the shadows, there's a place for us. Somewhere hidden, they can't find our love. Don't let them know. To each other on a crowded street. It's not us no more. It's just you and me. We're just strangers in passing, casually. It's not us no more. It's just you and me. Oh,
it's just you and me. This shit is dead and gone, it's not what it used to be. Someone give a eulogy. No, I'm hard-headed and I might have acted foolishly, but you the one to hold us down usually. Yeah. Yeah, we was in a limbo, but of all people, you ain't had to f*** with him, no. That was my homie, I gave y'all the intro. Some things fall apart and some get thrown out the window. Remember when we first met, we might have been too young, but we was from the Bay, so we both was going too dumb. I used to be the one for you, now you got a new one. So to the next life, son, maybe we could do some.
If we bump into each other on a crowded street, oh, it's not us no more.
New music. Right here. VOA. One.
You can run free. I won't hold it against ya. You do your thing. Never wanted a future. If I knew how to put it romantic. Speaking my truth. There's no need to panic. No, let's not put a. Let's keep it fun. We don't put a label on it, so we can run free. Yeah, I wanna be free like you. I'm a cool girl. I'm a cool girl. Ice cold, I roll my eyes at you. You don't like, but you still wanna keep on. Said you were fine, so for whatever reason. Sure, we can chill, try and keep it platonic. Now you can tell if I'm really ironic. No, let's not put a label on it, let's keep it fun. We don't put a label on it, so we can run. I'm a cool girl.
the name of the album, which is coming out later on this month. Her name is Tove Lo, and that song is Cool Girl on VOA1 The Hits. So check it out. If you're looking for us, if you want some information on your favorite artists, what's going on in the world of entertainment news, well, it's all up there on our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter. Just search VOA1 The Hits. Little Mix.
Tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my feet. No surrender.
Miguel on the one. Thank you for keeping it locked to VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Christopher Jones-Cruz, and Patrick Minita. Later, John Russell and Jill Robbins will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Christopher Jones-Cruz.
The United States Department of Justice says a man employed by a private company that was performing work for the National Security Agency has been arrested. In a statement, the department said 51-year-old Harold Thomas Martin III of Glen Burnie, Maryland, was being investigated for taking highly classified information. The statement said Martin was arrested in late August. It said he had a top-secret national security clearance. The statement said six documents were taken that had information in them from intelligence reports. It said they were produced by a government agency in 2014. Investigators say the documents were classified top secret. This means that revealing what is in them reasonably could be expected to cause exceptionally grave damage to the national security of the U.S. The New York Times newspaper reported that Martin is suspected of stealing information from an NSA computer program. The program is designed to secretly enter the computer systems of countries including Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. It said Martin worked for Booz Allen Hamilton. The company provides services to the federal government as well as private companies. In a statement, Booz Allen Hamilton said that as soon as it learned that Martin had been arrested, it immediately offered to help investigators. The company also said it had fired him. "We continue to cooperate fully with the government on its investigation into this serious matter," it said. The Justice Department did not say whether Martin may have used the information he allegedly stole, or how he may have used it. It said the information was found in a search of his home and storage buildings. Investigators said that during the search, they found documents as well as information stored on small devices. Martin could be imprisoned for up to 10 years if he is convicted on charges of illegally removing and storing classified materials and stealing government property. The Justice Department said when investigators first questioned Martin, he denied he had taken any documents or computer files. But it said when he was shown documents, investigators believe he illegally removed from his office, he admitted he took them. He also admitted that he knew they were classified. In 2013, Edward Snowden stole 1.5 million documents from the NSA while working for Booz Allen Hamilton, the same company as Martin. Snowden used the stolen documents to prove the existence of several secret U.S. surveillance programs. The U.S. government charged Snowden with espionage. He could be sentenced to 30 years in prison if he is convicted. But he fled the country and has been given asylum in Russia. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
plane was evacuated Wednesday in Louisville, Kentucky, after a passenger reported smoke coming from a Samsung smartphone. All passengers were safe after getting off the Southwest Airlines plane. The plane was to travel to Baltimore, Maryland. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration confirmed in a statement that a Samsung phone had caused the smoke. The agency did not say which Samsung model was involved and said it is continuing to investigate the incident. Samsung also did not say which smartphone model caused the emergency. The company said in a statement that it would examine the device. Samsung issued a recall of its new Galaxy Note 7 device last month after receiving several reports of overheating problems. The company said the overheating was linked to problems with batteries that caused some phones to catch fire. The recall reportedly covered at least 2.5 million phones worldwide. Sarah Green is the wife of the airplane passenger whose phone overheated. Green told the media that the phone was a new Samsung Galaxy Note 7. She said her husband, Brian, recently got the phone as a replacement following the Samsung recall. Green told Louisville's Courier-Journal newspaper that her husband called from someone else's phone to explain what happened. He told her the phone began making popping noises and started giving off smoke after he turned it off. He took it out of his pocket and threw it on the ground, she told the newspaper. The plane had not yet taken off. An official with Louisville's Metro Fire Department confirmed the passenger threw the phone on the ground after it started smoking. The official said the phone caused minor damage to the floor where the device landed. The Federal Aviation Administration issued a warning to airplane passengers last month about the Samsung phones. It urged passengers not to use Galaxy Note 7 devices during flights. It also urged passengers not to put them in checked baggage. Flight attendants on many airlines have also added a warning about the Samsung devices during pre-flight safety demonstrations. I'm Brian Lynn.
Recent conflicts in the Middle East are responsible for the worst global refugee crisis in 70 years. Data from the United Nations showed that more than 1 million migrants escaped to Europe last year. Syrian refugees made up 28% of that number. Refugees from Iraq and Afghanistan were the next largest groups. William Lacey Swing is the Director General of the International Organization of Migration based in Geneva, Switzerland. He says that if conflicts in the Middle East and Southeast Asia continue, the flow of refugees into Europe will likely continue as well. The top priority, he said, is to get the biggest problem solved, which is Syria. Half the population of Syria has fled the country since the civil war started in 2011. Currently, 6 million Syrians live outside of Syria. 1 million have escaped to Europe. The majority live in temporary shelters in Jordan, Turkey, and Lebanon. International migration officials hoped the September 12 ceasefire created by the U.S. and Russia would lead to peace and to Syrians returning to their country. But the ceasefire ended suddenly when U.S. airplanes struck Syrian troops and the Syrian government bombed a U.N. convoy. William Lacey Swing of the IOM observes that the collapse of the ceasefire shows that the causes for migration in Syria have not changed. The International Organization for Migration released new data last month about migration through the Mediterranean Sea. The numbers showed that migration to Europe using the Mediterranean Sea has gone down 40% so far this year. About 300,000 migrants and refugees crossed the Mediterranean into Europe between January 1st and September 25th. During the same period last year, about 500,000 entered. But over the same time, the number of deaths rose 20%. IOM data showed that 3,501 migrants and refugees died from January 1st through September 25th. That number includes the more than 200 people whose overcrowded boat sank off the coast of Egypt at the end of September. The victims were trying to enter Europe illegally. The Director General of the IOM, William Lacey Swing, told VOA, "This is a tragedy." He said government policies accidentally make the migration situation worse. Because countries do not offer enough ways for people to get out of dangerous situations safely, refugees are forced to use smugglers and travel in overcrowded boats, such as the one that recently sank. More than 50 countries and organizations met in September at the UN General Assembly in New York to discuss the refugee problem. They all agreed to double the number of refugees they take in through the UN program. Together, the countries will take a total of 360,000 refugees next year. But the UN says far more refugees will need to be resettled in 2017. It predicts that at least 1.2 million people will need to find new homes. IOM Director William Lacey Swing is confident all the nations will honor their agreements. But, he said, "I do think it is pretty bad that we cannot reach a quota of 1 million. President Barack Obama told the UN General Assembly that the migrant crisis was a test of our international system where all nations ought to share in our collective responsibilities because the vast majority of refugees are hosted by just 10 countries. To persuade other countries to take in refugees, the Obama administration announced a new funding system. The system allows wealthier nations to give money to less developed nations. The fund will be managed by the IOM and the UN's Refugee Agency. The U.S. has already contributed $11 million to the fund. The U.S. has also agreed to increase the number of refugees it takes from 86,000 to 110,000. Immigration critics oppose the increase. They fear increasing the number of refugees in the U.S. will also increase the threat of terrorism. William Lacey Swing believes their fears are unfounded. I think that if you look at the hundreds of thousands of cases that have come in here, up to now they have found virtually none, he said. More likely is what happened in Europe. If they get here and they're not properly integrated, then they can become a problem. I'm Patrick Melanchier.
Voters in the western state of Colorado will decide next month if they want their state to have a single-payer healthcare system. Under such a system, private health insurance companies would no longer operate in the state. The government would pay all healthcare costs from a new tax. In some countries, healthcare workers are government employees. Under the Colorado plan, doctors would still work for themselves or for hospitals or clinics. But the government, not their patients or private health insurance companies, would pay them. That money would come largely from a new 10% income tax. Most older Americans currently get health care from a government-paid system called Medicare. And many poor people in the U.S. get health care from a government-paid system called Medicaid. However, those who oppose Colorado's plan say they do not want the government to become involved in their health care. Irene Aguilar is a state senator and a medical doctor. She tried four times over 7 years in the state legislature to reform Colorado's health care system. She did not succeed. But she was successful in the effort to gather enough signatures to force the state to permit voters to decide the issue directly.
Americans need to get over the idea that somehow health care can be treated as a commodity. It just can't.
Senator Aguilar says the plan would cost $25 billion every year. But she says the state now spends $30 billion a year on health care. She says the plan would give health care to 350,000 Coloradans who do not now have health insurance, and to 870,000 who have health insurance that is not very good. Julie Perla is working full-time to try to convince people to vote for the plan. She knows it will not be easy.
We have such opposition from corporations and billionaires that are opposing this.
Opponents of the plan have been paying money to put many advertisements on Colorado television stations. They say the plan would double the state's budget and harm people's health. They say patients would be forced to wait for a long time before a doctor could care for them. And they say it will hurt communities where small business owners would be affected by the new income tax. Dr. Aaron Sain is one small business owner who does not want a single-payer system to be put in place. She says the small dental practice she opened 5 years ago in the small mountain town of Silverthorne will be hurt. And she says one statewide system does not have enough power to fight the high cost of health care and drugs. She also says such a system will not have the power that large national insurance companies have to force drug companies to lower their prices. Dr. Sain has been writing about her opposition to the plan in her local newspaper. She has also been talking to her patients about it. Most public opinion surveys show that a majority of voters will reject the planned system.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Don't Stop Believing is one of the most popular karaoke songs in the world. You have probably heard the rock group Journey perform the song, even if you do not remember its name. It begins like this.
You're a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train.
You can learn English grammar by singing along to the words. In fact, you can learn how to use two parts of speech, participles and participial phrases. In today's program, we will explore a common grammatical construction, the participial phrase.
In an earlier Everyday Grammar, we discussed relative clauses, groups of words that act like an adjective in a sentence. Common relative pronouns, such as who, whom, which, or that, often begin the relative clause. Here is an example. She is just a small-town girl who lives in a lonely world. In this sentence, the relative clause begins with the word who. It is a clause because it has a subject and a predicate. Predicates express what is being said about the subject. So, how does this discussion of relative clauses relate to participial phrases? Participial phrases are like shortened relative clauses. When reading or listening, English learners often have trouble understanding participial phrases. That is because, unlike relative clauses, such phrases do not have a pronoun. Words like that, who, or which, for example. Do not fear. In the way you might derive a problem in mathematics, you can also derive or get participial phrases from relative clauses. However, unlike complex math, creating participial phrases can be fun.
A participial phrase is a group of words beginning with a participle. In the present tense, the base form of a verb plus an ing ending. These phrases often serve as an adjective in a sentence. In general, you can change a relative clause to a participial phrase by removing the relative pronoun and the verb be. Then add ing to the end of the verb if it does not already have an ing ending. Think back to the words of our example.
She is just a small town girl who lives in a lonely world.
If you take away the relative pronoun who and change the verb live to living, you get this sentence.
She is just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
This sentence is almost exactly like the words you heard in Journey's song, Don't Stop Believing. The only difference is they removed the subject, she is, for artistic reasons. So, what happens if the verb already has an ing ending? Here is an example that shows you this process is even simpler. Consider the following examples.
The young students who are taking the final exam look afraid. The young students taking the final exam look afraid.
These examples show you how to change a relative clause to a participial phrase. When there is a relative clause, you can remove the relative pronoun and the be verb. You can also see that when the verb already ends in ing, you do not need to change it.
You will often see participial phrases following a noun. Think back to some of the words from Journey's song.
A small town girl living in a lonely world.
In the example, the participial phrase, living in a lonely world, is modifying the important noun, girl. This phrase is describing the girl, so you know it is acting like an adjective. Like other adjectives, participles can sometimes move to different places in a sentence. You will often see participial phrases following a noun, but sometimes they can come at the beginning of a sentence. For example,
walking at night, the hikers used headlamps.
The participial phrase, walking at night, is describing the subject, the hikers. When you see participial phrases at the beginning or end of a sentence, they are modifying the subject of the sentence. We will discuss this idea in future Everyday Grammar programs.
Verbs from any of the sentence patterns we discussed in earlier Everyday Grammar stories can work as participles. If you recognize and understand the common sentence patterns we discussed, then developing your own sentences with participial phrases should be easy. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.